The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And we are live in Akron, Ohio for the Ohio Christian Alliance Freedom Banquet, celebrating their 30th anniversary. And it is such a privilege and an honor now to welcome the program our Ohio Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, who before being Secretary of State, served two terms in the Ohio Senate. Secretary of State LaRose, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, Bob, thank you so much. And I'm going to see you shortly because I'm on my way to the Ohio Christian Alliance banquet right now.
We'll look forward to seeing you here in person. Well, you and others have been very busy. Was it yesterday, the redistricting for Ohio was finished? Was that yesterday or was that today?
Well, I guess technically it was yesterday because it happened in the wee hours of Thursday morning. we were working on it for the last several weeks, and we were in session all Wednesday night and finally got it done early Thursday morning.
All right. I've got to ask you a question right off the top. What is gerrymandering, and is this gerrymandering?
Well, so here's a bit of a history lesson. It some people would tell you that it actually should be pronounced gerrymandering because
I knew I'd get it wrong.
Yeah, well, no.
Gerrymandering, all right.
Named after Elbridge Gerry, who was the governor of Massachusetts. He was a Federalist. And in 1812, he drew a funny-shaped state Senate district up near Cape Ann, north of Boston, to make sure that his candidate, the Federalist candidate for the state Senate, was able to win. It was so funny-looking that it looked like a salamander, so the Boston newspaper called it the gerrymander to poke fun at Governor Elbridge Gerry, and the term has stuck ever since. Now, candidly, over the years, Republicans and Democrats have used the map drawing process to give themselves a political advantage. It is something that both parties have engaged in. Now, I would tell you that we created a better process here in Ohio in the Constitution just a few years ago that was set up to encourage both Republicans and Democrats to come to an agreement to pass a 10-year map. And so, unfortunately, throughout this process, I was working to try to bring the Republicans and the Democrats together. Others were as well, but that proved impossible. I was asked on Wednesday morning, is it still possible to reach a 10-year consensus on redistricting? And I told this reporter that our state motto is, with God, all things are possible. And I'm not giving up hope, but we weren't able to get it done. So it ended up being a partisan vote. The Republicans voted for the map. The Democrats voted against the map, which means that it will only be in effect for 4 years, and we'll have to come back to the drawing board after that. So certainly the term gerrymandering is always in the eyes of the beholder. One person thinks is a bad map, others would think is not. This was not ideal because it wasn't the result of that sort of bipartisan consensus that we should have. But it is a map that, followed the constitutional process, and it may end up in the courts, unfortunately, which is the nature of these things. And so if that's the case, then it will be up to the Ohio Supreme Court to tell us whether it's appropriate or not.
The bottom line is elections have consequences. When the Democrats are in control, they control the redistricting. When the Republicans are in control, they control it. Isn't it just that simple?
You know, it is, and it's not just at the state level. You know, city council districts get
sure.
redrawn, county council districts get redrawn. Often some of the same people that bemoan the process when Republicans do it don't have all that much to say when their favorite Democrats do it through the city council redistricting process, for example. And that's a little bit of hypocrisy, unfortunately. But, it's a process that is a high-stakes political process. I was hopeful that we would be able to get some agreement between Republicans and Democrats. And Bob, here's what I was hoping for, was to draw more competitive districts because, you know, we believe competition makes us stronger. It works that way on the athletic field. It works that way in the free market. And it certainly works that way in politics. Now, as a Republican, I believe that when a competitive district is drawn, more often than not, the Republican will win because we have better ideas and stronger candidates and that kind of thing. But I'd like to see more competitiveness the next time we draw these district lines.
Well, I pulled up both the maps for the House and the Senate today, and I'll be honest, in years past, I have seen some really weird-looking districts. You know, on the map, it looks like it comes down to it's about 4 feet wide, and then it goes to, 78 miles wide. I didn't see any really weird, strange, bizarre shapes in any of the districts, either in the House or the Senate. It, you know, again, I'm not an expert on anything, but it looked very, very balanced to me. Am I wrong?
Well, the new process requires more of what we call compactness, and one of the ways that we do that is by not dividing existing entities, unless it's necessary because their population is too large to contain one district. So what that means is we have to keep cities intact, we have to keep townships intact, counties, when possible, have to stay intact. And so the new process requires us to keep those intact, and so what that means is you get fewer of those funny shapes. But I always caution people that the way to judge a redistricting map is not how pretty it looks, right? Because in some cases, some of these cities, you know, the city of Columbus has a pretty funny shape to it at this point.
Sure.
And so
sure.
In order to keep the city of Columbus together, you end up with a funny shape as a result of that. But what's more important than sort of how it looks geometrically or geographically, if you will, on the ground, is whether that keeps together communities of interest, whether that keeps that sort of compactness that you want to have, and also whether it creates a competitive district. Those are some of the other things to judge when you look at a district map.
Let's talk elections just for a moment because our time is going to go very fast. In the last presidential election, Ohio is one of the few major states that I knew of absolutely no controversy about the election results. And I congratulate you and your office for the great work that you did. I don't know of anybody who found any controversy about our election. But across America, that was not the case. Now, I realize you're the chief election officer for the state of Ohio, and I don't know that this is a fair question, but I'm going to ask anyway. What is Frank LaRose's opinion of the state of election integrity in the United States of America as a whole, as we sit today? Are you concerned about election integrity across our country?
I absolutely am concerned. And I think that other states should reevaluate the way they run elections and look at the way Ohio does it. I think Ohio has emerged as kind of a gold standard for the nation. And this is something that others have been saying as well. You know, we do it in a way where there's bipartisan oversight, both Republicans and Democrats oversee each part of the process. It's not that way necessarily in other states. We have a process where there's always an audit after every election. And I want to repeat that. We always audit every election. And last year, and by the way, the reason we can do that is because we have a hard copy paper trail. So when you cast your ballot, there's an electronic tabulation because we want to know the results on election night. And if you don't have an electronic tabulation, it'll take till Thanksgiving before you know who won. But we also have a hard copy, dead tree, paper copy of that ballot. And what that allows us to do is go back after the election, a couple weeks later, and again, bipartisan groups, Republicans and Democrats, they'll count the paper and they'll compare it to the electronic record. When we did that, Bob, last year, we had a 99.98% accuracy rate. But here's the other really important thing. We have to resist activist lawsuits because the bottom line is election law should be made at the statehouse, not the courthouse. And every September, all of these out-of-state activist groups show up with their lawsuits. And the insidious part is then they use it as a way to raise money. So they will sue me. And within an hour, they'll be sending out fundraising emails saying, send us money because we're suing the Ohio Secretary of State. We didn't settle those lawsuits. Some states did, even states with Republican secretaries of state, cut a deal with the ACLU, gave them 30% or 40% of what they're asking for, not in Ohio. The attorney general and I, we fought those lawsuits, and we won all five of them. And that's the other big lesson. The secretaries of state, no matter how tempting it is, should not settle these lawsuits, because what that is a backdoor way of going around the state legislature and making election law at the courthouse instead of the state house. That's another threat. And then the last one is this. There is a dangerous federal effort to take over the way states run elections. Yeah. Speaker Pelosi and Leader Schumer, they want to run elections in all 50 states the way California does. I think that's a bad idea, and that's why we've been fighting these things like H.R. 1 and H.R. 4, which they cloak in these terms like they call it a voting rights bill. They call it the For the People Act. It is a cynical partisan ploy to take over the way elections are run, and for people in Washington to tell us in Ohio how to run elections is kind of laughable because we're the best in the nation at it.
Well, Secretary of State Frank LaRose, thank you for your time. We'll see you here in a few minutes. I don't know how close you are, but we'll see you soon. Thank you for giving us your time today. I appreciate it, and I know you are looking forward to the banquet tonight, as am I. And thank you for all you do for the state of Ohio, and thank you that in this last election, we here in Ohio could hold our head high. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Continue to keep our elected leaders in your prayers. We certainly need it.
Amen to that. Thank you, Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Quick break. We'll be back. Wrap things up in this live broadcast from Akron, Ohio. Stay tuned.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
You know, we play that little liner all the time. Talk radio that makes a difference. But I want you to know something. That is our prayer. That is our desire. I pray, Joy and I pray, we pray continually, the staff at WRFD prays, that we will make a difference. I pray that this program makes a difference. I'm at the age, a lot of people around Joy and I are retiring. Hey, we're retiring, and we're, to be really honest, sometimes that sounds so good. Joy and I have been in full-time ministry for, our entire married life. 51 and a half years. We're almost to 51 and three-fourths years now. December, it'll be 52 years. And we have always been in ministry of one kind or another. And sometimes we get tired, and then we realize that this is what God has called us to do. With Cross Power Ministries, our weekend ministry, it's not just weekend ministry. We do things not just on weekends. And by the way, if you want to know more about Cross Power, go to crosspower.net. That's our website, crosspower.net. And speaking of that, we will be at Todd's Memorial Church in Stockton. It's way down in southern Ohio. Way, 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 way down in southern Ohio, out in the middle of nowhere. Todd's Memorial Church. I think technically, it's not any town, but I think technically it's in Stockton, Ohio. Be there this coming Sunday morning. Looking forward to being back with that. It's a tiny little congregation, but I keep saying, Joy and I never ask the size of the church. Never. And we won't. So there's Cross Power. And then there's this daily radio program. If I did not believe that this program was making a difference, I would have hung it up a long time ago. At my age and stage, yeah, we could retire, we could, but God is still using us in ministry. God is still using this program. The door is still open. They haven't fired me after all these years. I can still say whatever I want to on the air. And I was just reminiscing when I heard that liner, radio that makes a difference. We certainly pray that that is the case. And the minute that I am convinced that we're no longer making a difference, I'm out of here. You know, I am out of here. All right. I hate to attack the liberal left again, but it's interesting. I have in front of me an article about what it costs to buy houses in different metropolitan areas around the country. In fact, the headline is the salary needed to buy a home in 50 U.S. metro areas. And it's amazing. Nationally, and this is surprising, nationally, the median home price today, if you go to the entire country, $257,600, which requires a salary of $61,453 to afford that kind of house. Well, then they go 50 individual metropolitan areas. One of the cheapest is Pittsburgh. Median home price, $141,000, which means you need a salary of $37,659 to own a medium price home in Pittsburgh. Cleveland, $150,000 is the median price home in Cleveland, which means you need an annual salary of $40,437. Cincinnati, $169,000 is the median price home. Salary needed, $43,000. Then we get to some other cities. San Jose, California. Now, there's a pattern here. Cities that are controlled by the liberal left. San Jose, California, median home price. The median home price, $1,250,000. In order to live in an average home in San Jose, California, you need to be making, your salary must be $255,000. San Francisco, the median home price, $952,000, which means you need to bring in a cool $200,000 a year to live in San Francisco. San Diego, which I absolutely love. Median home price in San Diego is $626,000, which means you need to make a salary of $131,000 to live there. Los Angeles, $576,000. You need to make $123,000. Really? Yeah, and there's a common denominator in among most of those cities. I'll let you decide what it is. Have a great evening, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Listen. Think. Think. Discern. Discern.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.